Bible we study, we stand to benefit from it. Even if we go over and over certain things, it's okay. It's one way that helps us to remember things and to really get those firmly embedded in our minds that we can recall where things are at when we need them. And I know that helps me, and I hope that you can say that it helps you as well. On Sunday, we've been in the book of Acts. We are in chapter 1. We probably will not get through chapter 1 this morning, but that's okay. I want us to take our time, and if something needs to be said, or if you have a comment or a question about something, I want you to ask it. I want us just to take our time and to benefit from going through the many things that we can go through and that we can learn from the book of Acts. Just fill full 28 chapters of just lesson upon lesson that we could learn and spend our time on. We have covered the first 8 verses. And basically, we have talked about Revelation, and we've talked about the kingdom, and we've talked about the Holy Spirit, and the command that the Lord gave to the apostles to go back to the city of Jerusalem and wait until they be endued with power from on high. And that's parallel with what Luke writes in Luke the 24th chapter. And so then we're going to begin with verse 9, and I'd like for us to read at least 9 through 14, and I think we'll at least get through this section and maybe even a little bit further. But if somebody will for us, read Acts chapter 1, verses 9 through 14. Don't be shy.
Now, when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by him in white apparel, who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they had entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying. Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, and Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers.
Appreciate that. Surely did a good job. Basically, what you have in this section is Jesus' ascension back to heaven. And then after this, when we get to it, we'll talk about the replacing of Judas, who by transgression fell that he might go to his own place. And so in this section, we've got the Lord, who had just been talking to the apostles, speaking to them, being seen 40 days, and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of heaven, that was parted from them and went back to heaven. What two accounts of the gospel is parallel to this account in Acts? In other words, what other accounts tell about the ascension of Jesus? Only two of the four, if I'm not mistaken.
Mark and Luke.
Good job, sir. And so, if you want some more information as to what took place, then read Mark's account. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. They went forth and preached everywhere. The Lord working with him and confirming the word with signs following, Mark 16, verse 20. And then if you'll look at Luke chapter 24, and notice, begin with verse 50. And he led them out as far as to Bethany. This is after he had just said, Behold, I send the promise of the Father unto you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Verse 49, and in 50, and he led them out as far as unto Bethany, and lift up his hands and bless them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. They worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. So let's think about some things that we can learn from the ascension of Jesus to heaven that is important for us to know. When you think about Jesus ascending to heaven, what comes to mind? Why would that be significant? That Jesus died, was buried, he rose, and ascended to heaven. Say that again, Elvis.
Say he completed his work here on earth.
Completed work on earth.
Yeah. Didn't complete work, but on earth.
He did. And there's a point you can make concerning the fact that he's no longer on the earth. There's things that Jesus did on the earth and had power to do while on earth, but yet Jesus is not on earth. And things don't work the same way. One of them specifically comes to my mind. What was Jesus able to do on earth, but since he's not on earth, it doesn't work the same way? If we're on the same wavelength. What did you remember? Recall a time when Jesus did something. He said, "But that ye may know that the Son of Man, while on earth, hath power to forgive sins." When he was going to raise a man that was paralyzed, and he said, "This man speaks blasphemy because he's told this man, 'Thy sins be forgiven.'" But that ye may know, he said, that while on earth, but Jesus is not on earth today. Therefore, the forgiveness of sins doesn't come about the same way. If Jesus was here right now, we could ask Him, "Lord, forgive me." And He had the ability, the power, the authority to do that, much like He did with who? Who did He say, "Lord, remember me"? And the Lord said, "This day thou shalt do with me in paradise." Now, the thief. And so when folks say, "Well, what about the thief on the cross?" Well, what about him? The Lord was on earth and had the ability, the power, the authority to forgive the man of his sins. But Jesus is not on the earth today. And so he finished his work on earth, and now he's in heaven, and we've got to appeal to what he said when he went to heaven if we want the forgiveness of our sins. What else comes to mind when you think about the ascension of Jesus?
The fulfillment.
Okay. What does that fulfill, Shirley?
In Psalms 68:18, that you have ascended on high, you have led captivity captive, you have received gifts among men, even from the rebellious, that the Lord might dwell there. And over in Mark 16, so then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. 1 Corinthians 15:4, and that he was buried, that he rose again the third day according to Scripture. In Ephesians 4:8, therefore he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men.
Good. Which is a direct throwback to that passage in Psalms. It jot it down to you. Don't already have it. So it's a place of rule. It completed his work on earth. It was a fulfillment of the Old Testament passages. What else comes to mind? We'll back up and talk about some. So I want you to see, and I'm not saying that you don't already, but I want you to appreciate the fact that Jesus ascending to heaven was more than just saying that the Lord went back to heaven. There's a lot of things that is associated with that we don't need to skip over. That is significant. What else? One thing that will come to you may have one. If one comes to mind, let me know. It's a fact about the Holy Spirit. Remember, the Lord had told the apostles, if I don't go to heaven, it's expedient for me to go. If I don't go, Comforter is not going to come. So the Holy Spirit was going to come upon the apostles after the Lord ascended to heaven. What else?
To prepare a place for us.
Okay. I go and prepare a place.
Who said that?
Jamie. Good job, Jamie. To prepare a place. Good. John 14 through 6. Good. I go and prepare a place for you. What else? We can just go on and on. We can go each and every one of these, but just think about the multitude of things associated with the ascension of Christ. Another significant one that comes to mind, I'm sure that you think of this too, is what does the Bible talk about in Daniel chapter 7? Daniel chapter 2, it was stated that in the days of these kings, the Roman Empire, that the God of heaven would set up a kingdom and so forth. But in Daniel chapter 7, he also speaks about the kingdom. When was that going to happen? Go over to the book of Daniel. And notice, which is significant as we're talking about Jesus ascending to heaven. Verse 9, I beheld, Daniel 7, And then verse 9. So when you think about the kingdom, some Old Testament passages you need to think about is Daniel 2, Daniel 7. I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like a fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. Fiery stream issued and came forth from before, and thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was open, set, the books were open. I beheld then, because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, I beheld him until the beast was slain, and his body destroyed, and given to the burning flame. A lot of imagery there that really parallels with imagery that you see in the book of Revelation. As concerning the rest of the beast, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and time. Now watch this. I saw in my visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man come with the clouds of heaven. Does that sound familiar? The cloud received him out of their side. In Acts chapter 1, came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion, glory, and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. So I ask you, when did Jesus receive a kingdom and brought before the Father? When did that take place?
When he ascended
to heaven. And so when you think about the fact of the establishment of the kingdom, which goes back to this place of rule, the establishment of the kingdom, Jesus had promised he would build it, but it wasn't established until Acts chapter 2 and folks were being added unto it. I think about the establishment of the kingdom then in Daniel 2 and Daniel 7.
Now, what reference that to be to Daniel when he talked about the four great kingdoms that revenge would be destroyed, and there would never be another kingdom that would rule the earth. The Christ kingdom would always rule.
Good. So it would be the everlasting one, right?
Yeah.
And so all the kingdoms of men come and go, and yet the kingdom of the Lord that Daniel describes is a stone that's cut out of the mountain and so forth would break all these other kingdoms, and it would stand forever. Good. Well, the fact that Jesus is a mediator. He's a mediator. There is how many mediators? One. What does it mean to be a mediator? Yeah, go between. Is that what you sound sorry? Yeah, a go between. Somebody that stands between two parties. Well, the passage in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 24, there are several that mention that. But Hebrews 12, 24. Hebrews 9, 15, for this cause he is a mediator of the New Testament. Hebrews 8, 6. The one that you really need to think about too, that nails down the fact that there is but one mediator, is 1 Timothy 2:5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And so when folks want to say we can go through Mary, we can go through some dead Christian, we can go through this person, that person, or the other, it just simply won't work. We have one mediator, and that's Christ Jesus. Any other points about that you want to make concerning the ascension of Jesus and him going back to heaven, it's a place of rule. Notice that the Bible talks about he sat where? Right hand. What's that a picture of? It's interesting when you go through the Bible and you maybe do a search for times that phrase right hand shows up in the Bible. It's a place that is a place of what?
Authority.
Well, Jesus has authority. We know that he said that he received all power and authority in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18, and 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is another passage that talks about that all things were put under him except for the Father. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 27. I think about Acts chapter 2. And then verse 36, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that the same Jesus whom you have crucified, God hath made him both Lord and Christ. We see, remember the words of Stephen in Acts chapter 7. He said, I see the heavens opened, and what did he see? Yeah, he saw Jesus where? Yeah, I saw Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Acts 7, verse 55. So Jesus went back to heaven, to a place of authority, a place of rule, and is now reigning as Lord of Kings, or King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Lord and Christ. Revelation 17, 14. Now the only place in the book of Revelation talks about it, that he's Lord of Lords and King of Kings. What's he ruling over? Now the church is his kingdom. The kingdom that he received, and he is the head of it, the Savior of it. And all the passages talk about that in Ephesians chapter 1 and Colossians chapter 1. So he's reigning over the kingdom, the church, of which we're members of when we obey the gospel. Colossians chapter 1 verse 13. The same Jesus, which is taken up from you, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go in to heaven. What does he simply mean by in like manner?
Same manner
in which he went with the clouds. And the Bible talks about, now sometimes folks have poked fun at that. I worked with a fellow, he said, a good co-worker, enjoyed working with him. But he'd often just kind of giggle about things, about religiously, and he'd kind of poke fun, and we'd be out at the cemetery, and he'd look up, and he'd say, Lord, it's not coming today, it's not a cloud in the sky. Because the Bible says, what? Cometh with clouds. He ascended, a cloud received him out of the sight. Acts chapter 1, he's coming with clouds, the Bible says, in a like manner. Revelation chapter 1, verse 9 talks about, or 7 rather, talks about that, and 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 talks about that he's coming with clouds. And which brings us to our next point. You got all this? Place of authority, complete his work on earth. He fulfilled several things in doing that. Holy Spirit came, prepared a place, established a kingdom as a mediator, sits at the right hand of God, place of authority, reign as king and lord over his kingdom, the church. Just as surely as Jesus went back to heaven, what else? He's coming again. And folks can scoff at that. And the Bible talks about scoffers coming in the last days, making fun of, mocking the fact that Jesus is coming again. Where do we read about that? Second Peter chapter 3. Another good chapter that talks about the Lord coming back. Over and over we're assured that just as he left, as sure as he left, he's coming again. That's one of the points that he said in John chapter 14 rather. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. But folks are going to scoff at that. They're going to make fun about that. In 2 Peter chapter 3, and then verse 3 beginning, someone read for us verses 3 through 5. Or 3 through 7, rather. 2 Peter 3, 3 through 7.
Knowing this verse, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men.
And so, 2 Peter chapter 3 talks about these scoffers. If you don't use King James Version, maybe New King James or some other version, what does it use in place of the word scoffers? Mockers?
It says scoffers.
It's what the word means, to ridicule, to mock, to scoff, to really to make light of. He says in the last days that scoffers would come walking after their own lusts. Are we in the last days? We are, right? Last days began when? Acts chapter 2. Fulfillment shall come to pass in the last days, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Walking after their own lusts, what were they saying? Where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. He's not come yet. And so you folks keep saying the Lord is coming. Jesus is coming. And keep saying the hymn, Jesus is coming soon. Night or noon. But He's not come yet. And so just make fun of it. But yet the Bible assures us that He's coming. And what other passages talk about deal with the second coming of Christ? Established fact, He went back to heaven. We know that in Acts chapter 1 He talks about He's coming again. We just looked at 2 Peter chapter 3 through 7, whatever the passage was. So 2 Peter talks about it. Jesus talked about it again in John chapter 14, coming again.
What's the verse, Donnie, where it says we'll be eating and drinking like in the days of Noah?
You can check, we'll go ahead and check Matthew chapter 24. We'll have to look at Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24:39, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. What's the point of that passage? In Matthew 24, what's the point in saying, knew not until the flood came and took them all away? It directly refutes what so many have done through the ages of time. Time setters, date setters. We've calculated, we've figured out when Jesus is coming again. Not so. Did they know when the flood was coming in the days of Noah? No. Knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall the Son of Man come. Did the disciples know when the destruction of Jerusalem was going to take place? Put on your thinking cap. Not, they did not know, and we do not know, when Jesus is coming again.
There were certain signs, though, yeah. They didn't know when the destruction of Jerusalem was coming.
Yeah, He talked to them about that. When you see, remember He said, when you see the trees bring forth leaves, so forth, then you know that spring's near, summer's near. You see these things.
The army standing worship
not. Yeah. So He talked to them about the destruction of Jerusalem for warning them then, but of His second coming. We don't know when He's coming again. And that's fair for everybody because all of us have to stay ready. As one preacher stated, our time gets away from us, but he said, I can always remember when Mom and Dad left a couple times a year and they'd gather up the money to get a babysitter and they'd tell us kids, they would not say we're kind of, you'd be good until 10 o'clock when we get home. He said, if we knew that, he said, we'd be mean as we could be then, get the babysitter in a good mood and at 9:45 clean the house before 10 o'clock. But my dad would leave and say, you'd be good because I'll be back sometime. And he said, then we knew we had to stay ready because we didn't know. So we don't know when the Lord is coming again. Good, Billis. Matthew 24. Well, good point. Other passages talk about Him coming again. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 13 through 18. We don't have time to read that. It's talking about those that die in the Lord. We've covered that before. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, 6 through 9. Those that trouble you, sin it is the righteousness of God to recompense those that trouble you and to you who are troubled, rest with us. We and the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven and so forth, taking vengeance on them, and know not God and obey not the gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So he's coming again, and we've got to be ready for his return. Any other passage you want to add to these? The fact that he's coming again. Now, there's other passages, Revelation chapter 20 and 22, when he says, "Behold, I come quickly, my reward is with me to give unto every man according as his work shall be." Revelation chapter 22 and verse 20. 22 verse 20. And Revelation 22 verse 7. Any other passages? So Jesus ascended to heaven. We have assurance that he's coming again. And one other point that I want to cover in this 5 minutes that we have left. The next week we'll finish chapter 1 as we talk about the replacing of Judas with Matthias and the apostleship. Is when Jesus comes again, what's going to take place? We sing the song, "When Jesus comes, to reward him." Right? We sing that hymn. We believe he ascended to heaven. We believe he's coming again. And when he comes again, what's going to take place? Tell me.
June 15 says execute judgment.
Okay. June 15. So we're going to say he's going to come again. We'll put it in order. Come again. When he comes again, there's going to be a
resurrection.
How many resurrections, by the way? One resurrection. John 5:38-39. All that are in the grave will hear his voice, whether saved or lost. John 5:28-29. The judgment.
Will there be separation from the good and evil?
Good. We're all destroyed. I'm going to say separation. Judgment. Stand before him, all nations will be gathered before him, and he'll do the separating. Separate the saved and the lost. Then, folks, time no more. Time swallowed up in eternity. You could park there and do it. There's a whole series of lessons on that. The resurrection, one resurrection, the good and the bad. John 5:28-29, other passages that talk about the resurrection, 1 Corinthians 15. The world's going to be destroyed. If you continue the reading in 2 Peter chapter 3, what does he talk about? 1,000 years is as one day, and one day is as 1,000 years. The Lord's not slack concerning his promise, as some account slackness, but his long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Verse 9, "And the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night." And so, the world's going to be destroyed when he comes. "And seeing that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought we to be in a holy conversation or conduct, and so forth." And the judgment. In time no more, eternity. A lot of passages talk about the judgment. 2 Corinthians 5 and again verse 12 and Romans 14, 10 through 12. Romans 2:16, Matthew 25, and other passages talk about the judgment. Revelation 20, 12 through 15. Any thoughts or comments? So what does that have to do with anything with us today? It has everything to do with us today. If in this life only we have hope of in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. And just as surely as Jesus died and was buried, rose again, ascended to heaven, and is coming again, we can anticipate our hope that we have of an eternity with God in heaven. That's what he's promised, Titus chapter 1, verse 2. The Bible says he cannot lie, but he's promised eternal life. The hope for you, which is laid up in heaven, whereof I, Paul, am the minister, Colossians chapter 1. So we have hope. "To them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28. So that's our hope. We expect, we long for the day when Jesus will come again and we can be for all eternity in the joys of heaven. Gets us through this section. Any thoughts, comments about anything you'd like to talk about relative to the ascension of Christ? The kingdom's going to be established in Acts chapter 2, the same very one that we could be a member of today. If we obey the gospel, the Lord will add us to it. Read the last part of Acts chapter 1 in anticipation for us to talk about the apostleship next week. I appreciate your good attention.